Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 10th of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news, including the farmer priorities of Indiana Governor Mike Braun, who spoke with Hatt last week, and something from FMC that can help in your fight against tar spot in corn this year. The Hatt Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Hatt Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is back with a mostly dry and very pleasant week in Indiana weather. And on Friday, the markets were mixed, corn higher. We'll have analysis with Brian Basting here on the Hatt Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Governor Braun's priorities for farmers and fighting tar spot in 25. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Governor Mike Braun was the featured guest at the Taste of Shelby County Agriculture event last week. Hoosier Ag Today caught up with him there to discuss his priorities for Indiana farmers. Property tax reform, obviously, atop that list. And we discuss that in our full interview at HoosierAgToday.com. But he also revisited other priorities from his State of the State address he gave at the end of January, including the formation of a farm savings account.
I think that needs to be there. When you do have the good years, you're going to benefit from it to where you can lard it away. When you're passing a farm from one generation to the next, that's even gotten more complicated due to the land values we've been talking about here just a little bit ago. And we're working on something to make that easier to do through a state credit.
That credit Braun is referring to would provide an adjusted gross income tax credit for retired farmers who sell or lease farmland or sell livestock to a qualified beginning farmer. Braun has also been pushing for a portal to help farmers with any issues they may have at the state level,
where you can go to one place in our state government, and if you got an issue, see where you can find help. So we're open to any good ideas. I mean, manufacturing is, Indiana's the biggest manufacturing state per capita. Agriculture, it's right up there. And, you know, that is the essence and the foundation for probably 70 of our 92 counties. We don't have manufacturing in a lot of the rural counties, so we got to keep that in mind too.
HB 1149 is the bill that would require the Indiana State Department of Agriculture to establish and maintain that portal, similar to USDA's farmers.gov. That bill passed the House and is now making its way through the Indiana Senate. Again, you can hear my full interview with Mike Braun at HoosierAgToday.com. Tar spot has reared its ugly head over the past several growing season. CJ Miller has an option that you might want to consider to help fight this fungal disease in 2025.
Northern Indiana, southern Michigan, tar spot, it's probably the driving pathogen for a lot of decisions on the farm.
And that's Adam Byrne, Technical Service Manager with FMC. Even though tar spot can move in at different times throughout the growing season, Byrne says that you can apply Xyway brand fungicides at planting to provide proactive protection against tar spot.
Could be VTR1 at that tassel timing. It could be later, closer to R3, R4. So by not having to worry about those other disease pathogens and worrying about, you know, timing it to target the tar spot, you know, moving into the field, now you can probably get away with one foliar application that's well-timed versus two foliar applications in season. And so now you've saved application costs, product costs in that respect. So there's a return on investment right there too.
Although you can't completely get rid of tar spot, he says that Xyway brand fungicides can help corn growers suppress the disease.
It's almost like having a healthier system going into an infection. You can ward it off better. So we're seeing consistently in the field, tar spot moves in, but the Xyway treated acres seem to be holding it off a little longer, giving you a wider window to react, which is an improved flexibility, and that's more efficacious to the farmer. So it gives them some flexibility and some control on those timings. So it's not controlling tar spot, but it is definitely holding it back back and giving you a longer window to react.
Learn more about Xyway brand fungicides at ag.fmc.com. You can also find that link and read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
There's also a great video on our Facebook page about Xyway. If you don't follow us there, be sure to do that now at Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a fairly pleasant and mild week this week. Dry through most of it as well. I don't see any significant moisture showing up here until we get into this coming weekend. Let's talk about the next 5 days. Today we see a significant south and southwest flow dominating the eastern corn belt. That takes temperatures above normal. Lots of sunshine. I, for one, not complaining. We get a little bit of a cool surge to move through tomorrow and Wednesday. The dominant focal point of that cool surge is going to be northern plains, upper Midwest, and Great Lakes. So yes, temperatures will back down tomorrow from where we are going today on highs, but I don't think we're cold by any stretch of the imagination, and we will continue to see a warmer air try and return later Wednesday afternoon into and through a Thursday strong southwest flow in play here. Now Thursday into Friday, we do see a minor disturbance trying to track through the Missouri boot heel into the Tennessee Valley. Probably some cloud cover offshoots of that coming into southern Indiana, but no moisture at this point. Strong south winds for Friday the 14th, and that's going to create a huge push up in temperatures. That's ahead of our next frontal complex. It's a massive low pressure system coming through the Great Plains and into the western Corn Belt overnight Friday night into Saturday. The leading edge of the rain gets here through the day on Sunday. We see significant rain potential for Saturday. I look for anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch Saturday during the day, probably dry slot overnight to Saturday night, and then maybe we see some wraparound backside on Sunday. If we don't see moisture, we definitely see clouds because cold air comes racing in to finish the weekend the 16th and go into Monday the 17th. But the cold air is relatively short-lived. We see warm air coming back for next Tuesday the 18th, Wednesday, Thursday. In that warm air, I think we see some overrunning, so some rain potential at midweek, Wednesday the 19th and into Thursday the 20th. Light rains at this point, and it may all tie into another low-pressure passage toward the end of next week. And that low-pressure passage could open the door to another round of cold air as we move through Friday the 21st and into the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm, the excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Mixed Ag Markets, the upside leader, corn. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have Friday's final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I secured that in the middle of the session from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. At mid-session, corn is up a little bit, and the bean market is back and forth while wheat trails working lower throughout the trading session. But things have calmed down, it seems, a little bit here on a Friday, Brian, after some volatility, of course, and a couple of sessions in a row of higher moves for grains and oil seeds. A little bit of resistance, though, popping into the market on Friday?
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, it's always going to be a volatile trade here as you enter the weather season in the spring, which we're just around the corner now. But there's other things that are really contributing to this here. I think one of the things that the market is still going to be a little bit hesitant about pushing this market higher, of course, is the uncertainty surrounding tariffs. What's the latest news going to be there over the weekend, of course, and we'll look at that. come Sunday night when the market reopens again, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and what the latest developments are there. So, yes, I think that maybe just a little bit of hesitancy there. But as you said, it's been an up and down week, but we've had some short recovery in the last couple of days here. And we've seen it be rebound, and of course, we've seen a precipitous sell-off earlier this week, and the market was due for at least a modest bounce here. But, yeah, I just think there's just enough uncertainty out there, Andy, with regards to the tariffs. And then you start to look at the WASDE report coming out on Tuesday, another thing that we might see some position evening leading up to that.
Short covering that we saw on Wednesday and Thursday, certainly welcome. And long overdue. It's been a tough slog here recently, up until that time.
It has been a tough slog, Andy, from the standpoint of the speed of the sell-off. If you look back at the rebound in corn futures, for example, that we saw from last fall, starting around that 1st of September, it had been a really strong rally. Been over approaching a dollar rally there in nearby corn futures. But that took several months to develop in fits and starts there, fits and stops. So we finally saw the market run into some resistance, a little over $5 there. And now the speed of this sell-off, I guess, is just something that is probably unprecedented for the end of February, early March. We see these types of sell-offs typically, Andy, associated with a change in the weather during the summer, particularly here in the U.S., something you might think of when you see a change from a hot, dry pattern in the middle of July to a cooler and wetter pattern. Typically, you just don't see this type of extended day-after-day sell-off that we saw. But yes, I think that we've seen the market stabilize here. A long way to go, a lot of uncertainty still out there. The USDA is surveying producers now for two key reports at the end of the month. The grain stocks report, which will detail on and off-farm stocks on March 1. Then it'll also detail the prospective plantings report, which will take the surveys from the first 2 weeks of March again and get latest intentions from producers. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces here. Supply-demand report, as I said, on Tuesday, March 11th at noon Eastern time. So these markets may be just starting to heat up, Andy, in terms of volatility, moving into official start of spring there later this month.
As soon as we begin to talk about this, of course, the situation in reality could be changing as far as tariffs, but there's been a lot of back and forth going on with tariffs involving the U.S. and other countries. How much is that a weight on the market or a concern for the market?
It is weighing on the market, but I will say this, Andy, it also creates volatility in the markets. Now, volatility can be viewed a couple ways. It can be viewed with fear or it can be viewed with opportunity. Needless to say, the steep sell-off we saw on prices from a producer standpoint was cause for a bit of alarm here earlier last week and early this week. I would say this, though. This is the type of market that has that type of potential to do the same thing on the upside. Not a price prediction by any means for me, but I'm just saying that type of volatility, I think, given all the moving pieces, is going to be with us. And I think a producer wants to embrace that volatility. And you say, what does he mean by that? I think you want to be able to be positioned in the market with your marketing strategies where you have a floor underneath yourself to protect against the type of sell-offs that we saw recently, but also give yourself upside opportunity. And there are strategies that you can design to do that, Andy. But I think the key thing is to embrace volatility because I think it's going to be with us all throughout the spring and summer here. But for the time being, that uncertainty around tariffs took a bearish slant, if you will. Going forward, who knows what's going to be going forward, but just be prepared in marketing as far as prepared to take advantage of volatility when it does take place.
Commentary from Brian Basting. He's with Advanced Trading, an economist there. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Now the final numbers from Friday trade. May corn, 469 and a quarter, up a nickel and a quarter. July up an even nickel, 475 and three quarters. And September, 450 and a quarter, 4.5 cents up. May beans down 2.25, ending at 1025. July goes to 1035 and three quarters, down 0.75, but a penny and a half higher on the August contract, 1035 and three quarters. May wheat, 551 and a quarter, 2.75 lower. The meats solid all day. April live cattle ending at $200.27, up $4. April lean hogs, 87.35, up 70. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.